Over the past few years, analog synthesizers have been slowly making a comeback as nostalgia for media from the late 1970s, the 1980s, and early 90s has saturated American pop culture. Modern film soundtracks are paying homage to earlier composers such as John Carpenter and Tangerine Dream, and modern rock bands are taking hints from Kraftwerk and Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. While digital synthesizers and interfaces have imitated the features and sounds from those original analog counterparts as technology has advanced over the past couple decades, the older machines haven't lost their place. Here are a few notes played on a 1979 Yamaha analog synthesizer. And here they are again on an OBXD virtual synthesizer. That difference may be hard for the untrained ear to pick up, but many musicians, including Harrisonburg's Matthew Snake Osborne, say there's no substitute for the real thing.
I tend to believe that the digital market has always come close, but it's a sound that is often imitated and never equaled, in my opinion, and for the audiophiles out there. We can always notice. The technology is temperamental, and I think that's, in a way, that's what kind of makes it beautiful.
Osborne plays primarily as a guitarist in his band Psychonaut, but was drawn to the synthesizer, or synth for short, a few years ago when he learned of its capability to sustain notes. His repertoire includes three synthesizers, an Arturia Mini Brute, a Moog Minotaur that he uses in place of a bassist in a different project, and the TWA Great Divide, which he uses to process effects for his guitar. These are all monophonic synthesizers, which can manipulate one sound in many different ways, as opposed to polyphonic synths, which are capable of creating multiple sounds. Osborne describes analog synthesizers as one of the more user-friendly instruments that are accessible to those who lack a formal education in music. Some are keyboard-controlled, while others, like the Moog Minotaur, can be controlled by a pedal resembling those found at the feet of a pipe organ. Ultimately, it's the rows of knobs on an analog synthesizer that really create the sound. All the different possible settings can be overwhelming at times, as Osborne says he often has to take a picture to remember just how he turned the many potentiometers and oscillators on his synthesizers to get the right sound.
The most difficult thing is to find a great sound with an analog piece of equipment, and then later on to duplicate the exact sound. If you don't remember what it is you did, that's a fool's errand.
Leading synth manufacturers such as Korg and Moog have tapped into that challenge in recent years, creating synthesizers with presets and sequencers. But the older machines that created sound throughout the 1970s and 80s are being resurrected as well. Some have been lying dormant for years, and almost all have needed some repair. Elliot Downs, who owns Wonder Records and Skate Shop in downtown Harrisonburg, works on the analog synthesizers that players frequently bring in. And sometimes, those machines find their way to a new owner. As luck would have it, synthesizers have made their way to Downs' workbench as more people have walked into the store asking about them.
We've always kind of tried to pick up synthesizers. We've just been getting a little more recently than we had in the past, but they do move pretty well, and we try to pick them up. I mean, they're just cool. They're weird.
Among the weirder finds, a couple of Soviet Russian synthesizers that Downs says were made with repurposed military parts.
They're all from Soviet Russia, so it was whatever was sitting around, really. And so you get a lot of, like, they're typically copies to some extent of a more popular American or European synthesizer, but just slightly off or slightly different, and so you get some kind of really bizarre tones out of them.
With a wave of beginners eager to explore analog synthesizers, Downs advises caution. He says do your homework and figure out what sounds you're looking for with a digital synthesizer before going analog. Matthew Osborne says the recent rise in popularity of analog synthesizers ultimately boils down to nostalgia. As a child of the 80s himself, he says the sound brings back plenty of memories.
Whenever people hear that, it speaks to what is familiar to them. I know in my own case, I mean, I hear video games, I hear 80s film soundtracks, I also hear, you know, killer rock bands of the 70s that influence me. It's a very powerful connection that grabs people, and it speaks to whatever is familiar to them.
Osborne predicts that analog synthesizers could stay at the musical forefront for at least another few years. For WMRA News, I'm Calvin Penn.